Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. Hypocritical, judgmental, still anti-gay, and boring. These are still the top critiques of the church by people who don't attend church, by people who are disinterested in church or used to be interested in church and are no longer. I say still because they have been the top critiques since I was in seminary and for as long as I've been a pastor. But these most recent figures that I found this week are from a 2015 Barna poll of the millennial generation and folks who say they do not attend church, and here's why. Hypocritical, judgmental, anti-gay, boring. The only thing that's changed really in the past 15, 20 years is how high the percentage of people who say these things about the church. In that study, in that poll, all of those numbers, percentage of millennials who do not attend church, over 85% say all of those things, or each of those receives in the high 80s in this study. Not exactly a ringing endorsement. Hard not to take some of those really personally, particularly the boring part, I must say. Goes along with the sunglasses to sleep in church. But I know this is true. I know it at some gut level because sometimes I don't tell people that I'm a pastor. Now, there's a lot of social situations in which I can't escape the fact that I'm a pastor, or that's why I'm there, is because I'm the pastor. Obviously, when all of you met me, with the exception of a person in the room who knew me before I was a pastor today, but that's a different story. When all of you met me as a pastor, so there was no getting around that. But sometimes I go to like a birthday party for William, and there are other parents there, and I really just want to make a friend. And you know, you're chatting with the other parents, and invariably somebody says, "So what do you do?" And I think here's my opportunity to be really cool and make a friend. And I don't say I'm a pastor. I say I work for a nonprofit organization. Which is true. "Oh, wow, what's your organization? What does it do?" "Oh, we are engaged in personal development, in lifelong learning, and in community transformation in our region and around the world." "Oh, rock on, that is so cool. You're really awesome, wow. That sounds great. I'd love to learn more about that organization." Contrasted with when I just bite the bullet and say, "I'm a pastor." And invariably what happens is people do one of a handful of things. They apologize for not attending church regularly. Particularly in the area, like, "Oh, I would come to your church if I did, but I don't." Or they tell me about this really cool church that they went to once or they used to go to. And like, you know, like some of my friends are Christians and go to that church thing. All right. Or they immediately stop swearing. Now, this experience is at a birthday party, so we have to imagine that people are for some reason swearing already. But if they immediately stop swearing and apologize for that as well. My usual response is to just, you know, offhandedly drop a swear back into the conversation, be like, "I'm cool with that, it's okay." But they immediately stop swearing, or they immediately start swearing and saying anti-religious things to try to shock me, which also doesn't work, but people try to do it. Or they tell me about the church that they used to attend and why they don't go anymore, because it was hypocritical or judgmental or boring or excluded them or their friends. Which is hard and heartbreaking, but an important part of the conversation to have. And every once in a great, great, great while, somebody says, "Really? Wow, because I have some questions and I've been looking to talk to somebody about that. And frankly, I've done that person, that one person, a disservice if I told them that I work for a nonprofit organization engaged in lifelong learning and personal formation and community transformation. So I try not to do it all the time." I dream of a church that's more known for its lifelong learning and personal formation and transformation of community than it is for being hypocritical or boring. Because what also happens when people do find out I'm a pastor, like maybe after they've thought I'm cool, which does happen sometimes, is that they say, oh, well, I would go to church if it were full of people like you. And sometimes I say, it is. It is. You should come check it out. The church is full of people who are really cool. Some of them are even cooler than me. The church is full of people who really care about the world around them, who really care about other people, who are trying to make a difference in the world and know that that difference has to start with their own lives and how we get good and strong development and personal formation and learning in our faith, and that we have to take care of ourselves and learn about our own privilege and brokenness and pain and start to take care of some of that, and then we reach out to others. It is full of people like that. But the story doesn't get told. Because you see, the other thing about that same 2015 Barna poll of the millennial generation who does not go to church and why, also asked the same group of people, what do you think the church should be? What would you like it to be? And asked that with words and also with pictures. Select a picture that represents what the church should be, ideally. And people picked pictures that were of small groups of people gathered together, either studying like a book that might be the Bible, might not be, or doing an activity together. And they picked pictures of a plant growing, some sort of representation of nature and of growth and development. And they picked pictures of a hand reaching out to help someone else, to lift them up. They dream of a church that is known for those things, too. They dream of a church that is a community that helps and that nurtures and that grows. We say to that, make it so. That's not so that we can sound like we're a Star Trek ship captain. Make it so. Make it so is also the meaning of the word amen. Make it so. May it be so. Right? So at the end of a prayer, you know, all of the things we're hoping to be, we say, make it so. And we place that make it so into God's hands. Oh, God, make it so. Just as Mark Miller's song, make it so, oh God. We pray for a day when your will is done. Make it so. It's a biblical dream, this church dream. It's what Jesus calls us as his followers to do and to be in the world, right? Imagines separating those who have lived that dream from those who missed the mark. And the thing about the people who have lived into that kind of church, that kind of community that helps others, that visits those who are sick or lonely or in prison, that feeds the hungry and clothes the naked and takes care of those in greatest need, is that that community, that group of people, they're not doing it to impress Jesus. They're not doing it to impress God. They're not telling the other moms and dads at the birthday party that they work for a really awesome nonprofit because they're hoping to make friends, right? Or appear cool. They do it because that feels like the right thing to do. That feels like what is right and good. And so, in Jesus' imagining of this dreamed for community, they are surprised to learn that by serving one another, by serving those society would count as least, they have, in fact, served Christ. They're surprised to learn that. For once in a while, we can get surprised by that. Oh, yeah, I see Christ in the others that we're serving, because sometimes serving itself just feels like the right and good thing to do. During this series, Roll Down Justice, as we imagine the waterfall of justice ever growing, rolling down God's blessing upon the earth, the words of the prophet Amos, let justice roll like a mighty river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We also revisit the ritual of baptism in the church, which was an initiation into the church, especially at first. that was often undertaken at Easter. And so Lent was a time of preparation for that, right? But in the early church, joining the church wasn't like joining a club or getting your BJ's club card so you can get the discounts. Or just kind of like being in the treehouse gang just so that you could be with the other treehouse gang kids. It was joining a movement. Initiation, becoming part of the church, or the way, which was the original name of this body, the way, was about joining a movement that's going someplace. It meant signing on to what God was doing in the world. And what God is doing in the world is feeding hungry people and clothing people who don't have enough clothes, or housing people who don't have enough shelter, visiting people who are lonely, who are ill or feeling under the weather, who are in prison for no matter what the reason. And that's what God is about in the world. And so being part of it meant being part of what God was doing, is doing. I dream of a church that does that. And I think that dream is realized in us, is realized in this community more and more. God is realizing that dream, a little portion of it, in this time and place, through the work that God calls us to do. I dream of a church that is known for that. That's a harder point. That's a harder place to find. But I dream of a church, of a people, of a community known more for helping others than for trying to herd people into a space, known more for giving than for asking other people to give, known more for the transformation that God is doing in us and in the world through us than for complaining about how things should be. I dream of that church and pray, oh God, make it so. Amen.